Greetings and salutations, everyone. This is AC2GS. My name is Roy, and I'm the net control operator for this, the Limark Technical Net. Going strong for 42-plus years, mostly under the care of Dick, K2RIW, who unfortunately became a silent key a few years ago. But we continue the technical net in his memory, and we all hopefully learn from each other and teach each other and entertain each other. And so I hope a lot of people have come tonight with a bunch of questions, some answers, some observations, and what have you. So we try this every week, and it works, so we'll keep trying. Let me drop for a second, then I'll give you the usual links. Okay, if you want to reach me via email, if you can't do it over the radio, then email's a great idea. That would be either for what we used to call mailbag questions, or questions that you aren't available to ask on the technical net, but you would like to submit them and then either listen to the answer or listen to the archived recordings of the answer. Or if you have a topic either you'd like to present to us all, or you'd like to be part of it, the conversation, or you'd just like to sit back and have other people with a better understanding of the topic discuss it and listen. Or if you have a puzzle, we're always looking for technical puzzles, preferably those that can't be looked up by Google in a tenth of a second, to kind of stimulate discussion and either learn new things or relearn old things that we all forgot. The other reason is if you have some space or NASA-related story, you want to get Paul's opinion about it. So you can either contact me. My email address is mailbag@ac2gs.com. Again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. Or you can contact Paul directly. He's at spacenetreport@gmail.com. Also, have a lot of very interesting articles available on YouTube, so avail yourself of the list. They're open for business 24/7. So, middle of Wednesday, if you type into your browser roy.ac2gs.com, it'll give you the link page. A lot of interesting links. One of them is about something that I'll be discussing in a few minutes. Also, we have a chat room available. Sometimes it's busy, sometimes it's quiet. The way to get there is, again, to type into your browser chat.ac2gs.com, and that'll bring you to the chat room. Let me drop for a second. Okay. I have an audio stream. I set it up so that if people didn't have a radio access, they could listen to the technical net, but some people wanted to know if I could keep it live the rest of the week, so I have. So anytime that you want to listen to what's going on the Glen Oaks repeater and you don't have a radio and you have internet access, just type into your browser technet.ac2gs.com, and that'll give you access to the Glen Oaks repeater's audio feed. And as always, I like to remind people that MyKC2NJI has a great archive of these technical nets that go as far back as September of 2006. His site is called amateurradio.tv. He has over 1 million visitors, so make it 1,000,001. So I'll drop for a second and tell you a couple of things. Okay. Just want to make another comment. Last week I made a similar comment. I also happen to very often be a net control operator on a 10-meter net at 28.380 upper sideband Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. And once again, for a second Sunday in a row, 10 meters is fantastic, especially in the morning. So if you haven't checked out 10 meters recently, do check it out. We made some contacts with England, a couple around this country, and of course many people in the metropolitan area. So if you haven't checked out 10 meters in a while, check it out. It's kind of a magical place again. Let me drop for a sec. Okay. Also, want to tell people it's available on my link page, but in case you're not inclined to go to the link page or read it or anything, There's a site called the Internet Archive Organization. They are the guys who do the Wayback Machine, so that if you're interested in what a website looked like, 10 years ago, it actually archives old website pages. So if they've changed their website and changed what they had in the front and the back, you can actually go looking to see what it once said and believed. So in addition to the Wayback Machine, they have a lot of other features. And recently they announced that they were going to start an archive of amateur radio-related material. So that could be PDFs of magazines. It could be articles. It can be audio files of contacts that are recorded. It could be archives, like our TechNet archive, I guess. It could be videos like YouTubes and all kinds of things. So take a look at that, and if you have material that you would like to help them archive, contact them and suggest it. So hopefully you'll take a look at it, and we'll add some interesting stuff to the place. It's called archive.org. A lot of people have used the Wayback Machine, but there are a lot of other archives going on in that facility. Anyway, this is AC2GS. Anyone have any opinions, comments to make about anything that I mentioned just now? Okay, no comments. Well, once again, this is AC2GS, and this is the Limark Technical Net. So if you have any questions or comments, preferably I would like the first few questions to be amateur radio related, but as time goes on, I'm more than happy to expand the conversation to any field in science and technology, and we'll see if we can answer questions or make sense of things. It's up to you guys. So with that in mind, anyone with any questions or comments or statements for the Limark Technical Net, I will drop, and please ask you to hit that push-to-talk button and give me your first name and your call sign, and put your name on the list for tonight.
82OGB.
And 2X again for the science section. Other one of the topics is electromagnetic waves. But anyhow, put me at the end.
Okay, very good. So we have Craig recognized. We have Wes recognized. Is there anyone else out there with any questions or comments for tonight? Okay, I hope it's not going to be a particularly slow Columbus Day weekend edition of the Limark Technical Net. Hopefully, as many previous technical nets have gone, as time goes on, things get a little bit more lively. Some people arrive, I guess, late to the show, or a question pops into their heads as they listen to another conversation. So we will see what the future brings us tonight. Top on the list tonight, even though, Craig, I'm glad to hear you today. I remember last Sunday you mentioned that you were going to be unavailable for the next two Sundays, but I'm glad that you're here tonight. What question or comment do you have for us tonight?
Well, to top it off for maybe 3 seconds, had to cancel one half of the trip, so we'll leave it at that. One of my Bofang UV5R V2 Pluses is not working correctly, and now I have a feeling I am not going to be able to get rid of it. It's able to receive, but it's not transmitting. It looks like it's transmitting, and I have other radios on the same frequency, but it's just not tripping the repeater or anything. It'll work on simplex, but not any repeater within, like, a foot of my home. The last thing I did with this radio was plug it into Chirp, and I don't know if now I have dead modulation or what the problem is.
Well, you just mentioned that it does simplex. Now, to me, simplex might be slightly different to what you consider simplex. Can you go on, say, 146.520? And have a conversation with someone else someplace else, Or are you say when you say simplex, do you simply mean that you transmit to another radio in your house?
For example, Selden Simplex, 147.375. That'll work, but it's not working repeater-wise. It looks like it's transmitting, but it's just not sending any modulation, basically dead carrier modulation. So I don't know what the problem is.
Okay, so I'm not completely understanding this. If you operate Simplex to another radio, it modulates. Is that true?
Yes, just not through the repeater.
Okay, so to me that's very, very weird, because why at one frequency would it modulate and another it wouldn't modulate? Because if you told me that it's just not transmitting anything, you know, it could be the output transmitter circuits blown. It could be the modulation circuit is with the audio input to the modulation circuit is blown. But the fact that sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't is deeply confusing. Is it more likely, because the major difference that I perceive between a simplex transmission that's successful and a repeater transmission that's unsuccessful is usually the PL tone. So is it possible that the PL tone generation is the problem?
Oh, because then, because like I said, it'll receive, like if I use Selden on another radio, it'll pick that up. It just won't work when I'm transmitting.
Okay, you don't necessarily need a PL tone to receive unless you're sending it to Tone Squelch, but if you know that's a kind of a different thing entirely. The point is that if you transmit a perfectly fine signal to the repeater, but the PL tone isn't there, the repeater will not break squelch. It will not go into transmit mode. So my assumption is that it's much more likely that than an intermittent problem of modulating your transmission signal, you know, that it works fine for simplex operations but doesn't work for repeaters.
My other radio, I went through it and matched the settings and still it'll fully work on one radio, and then I receive with it. Again, it just won't transmit, even though it looks like it actually is transmitting, but nothing is getting picked up, and I don't know what the issue is. I even tried doing a full reset. I even tried doing everything manually, matching it up, and nothing.
Okay. Again, a little confused. I would be kind of willing to bet that if you hooked it up to a watt meter, you'd get some kind of power output, but then I guess you could say that it was non-modulated. But I don't know. It sounds a lot like the PL tone circuit is screwed up. If you've tried, reflashing the firmware, I don't even know if that's possible on the Balfunk. I think the firmware is kind of set. You have to kind of break the case to do firmware updates. So, you know, you can do little, I guess, factory reset reboots and such. The only beauty of the Balfunk ultimately is the somewhat disposability of it. You know, these things do fail. The quality assurance is not fantastic. So it might simply be that this was the time span of your Balfunk. You know, I've often commented, I have one Balfunk, and my attitude is, you know, if the weather is terrible, I'm afraid of getting water into my ICOM HD or my Yaesu HD, I don't really care about the Balfunk. If I screw it up, I'll buy a new one. If there's anyone out there who has a better grasp of what might be a solution to Craig's problem getting into the repeater with his Balfunk, please feel free to hit that push to talk. Okay, well, I guess that's always a good idea. There are guys out there like good old Andy who have all kinds of gear to test out what's going on a radio. Again, to go through a great deal of trouble for basically a $30 radio, and I might be, you know, overly, you know, into just kind of spending money, but I think some pieces of equipment are worth a great deal of trouble to figure out and fix, and others are kind of somewhat disposable.
And probably a standing or sitting is mixed up.
Say again?
Some setting on a radio is mixed up.
Well, I suggested the possibility, but he's reset it and he's reprogrammed it. So for whatever reason, it's not easily able to be changed into something that's more usable. Again, my gut sensibility is that something has screwed up the PL tone, either in the software, because Baofengs are kind of radios on a chip. So a lot of it is just software running in a very, very complicated radio chip. So something's gone bad, some bit has flipped, and it's apparently not easy to unflip it.
Probably say this. If it works simplex, but it just doesn't work through the repeater, that doesn't necessarily mean that transmitting isn't fully in the drain. At least there's some hope of maybe resolving it. It's just a matter of what exactly could it be.
I guess so. And, I mean, you can continue using it as a simplex radio. But, again, the only real difference I perceive between a simplex communication and a repeater communication is a PL tone. So, you know, it's a shame you can't kind of output your signal and see, number one, do you have power? My guess is that you do. Does it have audio? My guess it does. But probably, if you look for the PL tone, it's missing. How you correct for that in these little Baofengs, other than doing exactly what you did, which is basically reset the machine, and then insert the software instructions for the handy talkie that include PL tones. If it's not really responding to it, then there's something software or hardware with the radio itself that's going to be more of a problem to deal with. Because, again, these things aren't really designed. Things like any tones and such allow you to update the firmware. But unless things have changed since I bought my Baofeng, I don't think they really allow you to do upgrades on the firmware. Is there any firmware updates available on the Baofeng in your model?
Well, here's the thing. It's the V2 Plus. One of the biggest radios that the FCC did not like since it was a completely open radio. And it actually turns out there is a trick using Chirp to actually make it not transmittable on any frequency except for the ham bands. And this is what the Chinese actually had to do, but they then had to set it up so you could not turn this feature off. It had to be set up permanently. On Chirp, if I can pull it up here, there is a setting, I think it's called duplex, and you basically have the option to do what's called turning it off, and if you press the transmit button, it will not work. It'll just beep, and you won't be able to transmit at all. Now, a lot of radios, even the Baofengs, still do this for some reason, yet the FCC strictly told Hamcrest to lock everything into ham bands only, but a lot of HTs have this problem, and they're going to now have to go back and really do this all again. But the mobiles, I believe, are already set up to only be locked to the ham band.
Okay, but that's just a feature in, it's not really a firmware modification, it's just a setting that's available through the external programming software that you know, there's a command to set that flag in a certain position. The niceness of things like AnyTones and some of the more expensive Chinese handy talkies is that you could actually do firmware updates on a regular basis. AnyTone publishes firmware updates, and if you're so inclined, you could use them. Baofengs, as far as memory serves me, do not have the ability to just through the RS-232, the serial interface, to upload a new set of firmwares. The firmwares are hard-coded in a chip, at least as far as external connections are involved. You might be able to do surgery on it and change the chip or rewrite to the chip. I don't know the nature of the chip that they use for that firmware. But it's a different thing than, say, AnyTones and all the other kind of the radio, the handy talkies that cost over $100. Again, Baofengs are very nice as disposable radios. They only cost you about $30. I've seen them even cheaper. I don't know if the prices are going up now. Every price is going up. But the reason why is it's very lightweight. Anyone who picks up a Baofeng can kind of recognize it by its weight alone. It basically has a very sophisticated radio in a chip that does most of what it's supposed to do. So most likely, my guess would be you're not going to be able to get any extra things done with the firmware if you. If you're copying a working software in another Baofeng of that model and it's not working for this one, I don't know of any easy solution for you. But once again, anyone else out there have any ideas, feel free.
KB2HHU?
Yes.
I actually did. I don't know if this might have done it. I actually copied one of the newer V2 pluses that would only be transmittable on the ham band, even though it would be able to go from 145 to 155 and then eventually 144 to 148 on an older model that could technically transmit on any frequency, but with this one would only be transmittable on the ham band. I think that's maybe what might have confused it or set it off. I could be wrong, but maybe that might have to do with it.
Okay. That's one of the problems we have now with a lot of the software. You have to really read the fine print and make sure you're using the right model software. For code plugs for DMRs, they use things called CPS software, and it seems like every model and sometimes each version of each model has a slightly different CPS. They kind of all look the same. I think they're all pretty much designed around a Microsoft basic template because they run slow as molasses. There was another station that had an opinion that wanted to add it. I didn't get the entire call sign. I think the suffix was AHU.
Yeah, KB2HHU.
Yes, what's your first name and say your piece. Yeah, KB2AHU. What's your first name?
KB2AHU. I'm sorry. I'm back.
Okay. What's your first name, please?
Sure. First name is Sigmund North Belmore. I've been on the net before. I don't know. Unfortunately, I was having radio issues. Did someone talk about anything about deviation or anything on the transmitter or anything like that?
I did.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to add in that I had a problem in the past with 1HT, not a Baofeng, where it was too much deviation, and I was jumping out of the bandpass of the receiver or the repeater, so you basically got nothing but a carrier. If you backed off the mic, usually you could get in. So,
you know, that was the clue. But Valfang did not know it for heavy deviation, I think. So, you know, may not apply at all. Just if you did, then it's fine. KB2 HHU.
Yeah, but the problem is when I transmit, it doesn't seem to want to be heard by any other radio I have around me, even though I'm far away and I'm on the right frequency, the right tone. It looks like it's transmitting, but it's not sending any signal whatsoever. 82OGB.
Craig, are you listening on the input or are you listening on the repeater output from the other radios?
Going on, DL, you know, deviation, the whole bit. Just a quick, you know, test at the clinic. Tune-up clinic would tell you the whole story, yeah, for sure. KB2HHU.
Anybody else want to come in?
I just wanted to comment, Craig, when you're saying the other radios don't pick up your signal, are the other radios set for the input frequency that you're transmitting on your Baofeng, or are they set for the repeater's output frequency?
It's set for the repeater output, but the majority of it hears what I am describing. What I'm doing with this radio is I'm only keying it for like a second or two just to get the repeater to go off, and then my other radios will light up for a few seconds indicating that I hit the repeater. With this one, when I key it up, none of them will light up that I hit the repeater at all.
Okay, personally, I would suggest, just as an experiment, you set one of your other radios not to the output of the repeater, but the input of your radio. If you can hear your transmissions that way, again, it means that there's something going on with its interaction with the repeater, which usually tends to be things like PL tones. If the PL tone is wrong, if the PL tone is corrupted, if the PL tone is missing, you won't get that ker-chunk.
Stand by.
WB2CQT.
Yes, CQT.
Okay. If he has more than one Baofeng radio of a similar generation and he uses chirp, take one of the Baofeng radios that he perceives working correctly, download that into chirp, and then download it from chirp into the radio that he's having a difficulty with, so that way they'll both be exactly the same.
Okay, that makes sense, Larry. I think, though, that Craig did that. I mean, I think Craig had to step away for a second, but if he's back, isn't that what you did, Craig, that you uploaded your working Baofeng and then used the same file to download to your broken Baofeng?
Yeah, I tried that, but it's not going to work. Stand by for a second. I'm actually going to try something, and I need this repeater for a minute. Stand by.
KCIS with a comment. First name is Chris.
Downloaded one into the other without any other changes.
Yeah, Craig mentioned that he tried that. He's now apparently going to do something as a little impromptu test, I guess, with the repeater. So, Chris, you doubled with Larry. What'd you say?
Yeah, sorry, I'm coming through on Echolink, so my timing is a little bit messed up. I think I don't remember his name. I don't remember his call sign. I've been trying to transmit here myself with this stupid phone. I think that he broke a cardinal rule. And what you do not ever do with chirp is download a code plug, for lack of a better term, we'll go old school Motorola. Don't download anything from another radio and put it into yours unless they are all of the same breed. If they'd have to be identical radios, identical versions, identical firmware. If you download something from another radio and then put it into the radio that you want to use, you're begging for corruption. The first thing that you're supposed to do, when even brand new out of the box, if I want to use Chirp with a Baofeng, a Yaesu, whatever, download the plug that's in the radio and modify it. While he was talking, he said something about going from a version 2 code plug to put into his version 1 radio, and that is 99.9%, I am 99.9% sure that that's the problem. Go ahead.
Okay, I mean, that's a good point. I like, in principle, Chirp, but I don't really use it because there's a lot of little things that you got to be aware of to have it work for you. You know, I spend the money for things like RT systems and such, and so it's a very, very sturdy commercial piece of equipment. But, I mean, you know, if you screwed up, if you flipped a bit accidentally, I don't know of any way to really unflip it other than doing a factory reset and hoping for the best. I mean, do you know of any kind of magical way to get into the guts of a Baofeng? I've never read anything useful on the subject.
No, if he still has a problem, my recommendation to him would be take the radio in question. Do a complete factory reset on it. Wipe its brain completely. Then hook it up to Chirp. Download an image from the radio offline or while the radio is connected and you have the information in Chirp. Now go channel by channel and do whatever modifications you want. Add PL tones, whatever. And then upload that back to the radio after a hard reset, and more than likely that will work.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Chris. That's a good idea. Probably rather than, you know, rewrite your code plug, you probably just as a test vehicle just put in one set of channels for, say, this repeater with a PL tone and just see if it works for one repeater before you go to the trouble of kind of manually reinserting a code plug.
ETLGB.
Yes, Greg.
Okay, so, well, obviously this repeater was still occupied, so I used Middle Island, W20QI, on 146A2. I put my DTEC on 22, the input, and then I used the older V2 Plus that I'm having the problem with on the input, but then as soon as I flip it, it's not hearable again, or it doesn't trip off the repeater. So, something has to be, something I think... So it still works simplex-wise, but it's just not working repeater-wise on anything. And technically, I did this with two identical Baofengs, but remember, one of them was set up to transmit on any kind of frequency, while the other was only set up to transmit on 144 to 148.
Okay, what can I tell you? While you were testing that, Chris had a very good idea. Basically, do a complete factory reset with your non-correct functioning Baofeng. Then connect it to Chirp, and when it does a factory reset, it has its own little software that doesn't have any particularly useful information, but you can then download it from Chirp, so that kind of resets the code plug, and then you can just write, say, one entry for LIMARC with the proper PL tone and upload it to the radio and just test it to see whether doing the, kind of cleaning up the code plug from any other Baofeng might flip a chip that's set for something in the PL tone, because there's no other way that I can think of to kind of reboot or reset the firmware any other way. So I'm still thinking the PL tone is the problem. Once again, what I would be interested in is if you take the other radio and listen to not the output but the input frequency. So in other words, you're transmitting it with your broken Baofeng. It doesn't kerchunk the repeater, but do you hear your transmission coming out of your other radio that's set for the same input, not output frequency?
Okay, on the broken Baofeng, I'm on the output, and on my VTEC, I'm on the input. And as soon as I hit the transmit button, I can see it light up and am hearable, but then as soon as I go back to the repeater, it does not light up. Like, after I let go of the button, as if the repeater had that slight delay.
Okay, not quite sure what that would indicate. I don't know. The best I could suggest, the only kind of random way of doing something a little bit different than all the other things that you tried is what Chris suggested, which is just a complete factory reset. Use a virgin copy of Chirp, download the broken Baofeng's reset software, add an entry for the repeater, upload it, and test it. If that's not going to fix it, I don't know what really is going to at this point.
Do a full reset with the radio plugged in or no? I'm going to do this right now.
Well, I mean, whatever the instructions on doing a full factory reset, I would assume that it's not a case of it being on. It's probably one of those things. I haven't looked recently, but it's probably one of those things where you turn it off, you press a whole bunch of buttons simultaneously, and then the power button, and then you hold it for a little while, and it indicates that it's gone into reset. But, you know, every handy talkie is different, and I don't think I've ever done this to a Baofeng, so I don't remember what the proper maneuver is.
All right, I have it plugged in. I'm downloading stuff from it now. But I still don't get the idea of downloading, like, the version of Chirp or the version of the radio to Chirp. I don't get that.
KD2VHD.
Yes, Jim.
Good evening, gentlemen. I just came in, but I have some knowledge of this. I've bricked one of them radios, got it back through sheer luck. Chris is very correct. I had a case of these things, and even within the case, they're not all the same firmware, and you can't interchange the as-you-were code plugs. You need to download from the radio you're working on, cut and paste into that, and then put that same code plug, if as you were, back into the same radio. If you do other than that, you risk breaking it completely. The best I was able to do was grab one out of a radio with a matching firmware, and I lucked out. But I believe sometimes you break them and they can't be recovered.
Basically, you're just saying I should download what I have on the radio and then just basically upload it back?
That's the way you have to do the process, but if you already messed up a radio, it may not be recoverable. Best you can try to do is download out of a radio with exactly the same firmware numbers and then try to load that back in, but it's tenuous. Luckily, you're only out $35, but you may have bricked the radio, or may not. It's going to take some experimentation to find out.
Okay, I just did that, and I just keyed up output to output, and nothing lit up.
Let me see if I have the repeater right now. Okay. The important part is you have to at least attempt to do a complete factory reset. Now, did you, Craig, do a factory reset, or did you simply plug in the Baofeng, download the program into Chirp, and then re-upload the program from Chirp into the Baofeng? Because if you did that, then it's probably the same corrupt file. You have to hope for a virgin, clean code plug, which you tend to get if you do a complete factory reset. Part of the code inside of most of these handy talkies have a kind of dummy version of the software that's uncorrupted. So the most important step is you have to do that complete factory reset so that when you download the code plug, it really shouldn't have that much information on it anyway. So if you're getting a lot of information from the code plug, it's just a copy of the code plug that you corrupted it with.
I just wiped it, and I just downloaded it. I'm only seeing, like, two frequencies on here, channels 0 and 127. Now I'm going to upload it, cloning now, and I'm going to then type in the frequency manually and try it one more time.
What frequency?
Well, we're all going to wait with bated breath and hope Craig good luck on this little venture. I hope he hasn't bricked it, but again, you know, better to brick a $30 radio than a $200 radio, I guess.
So just bear with me here, and I am hoping that this fixes it. If not, then I guess I'm pretty much out of luck.
WB2CQT.
Yes, Larry.
When you get a chance, ask him if he knows how to program the radio by hand for one channel, let's say 446.0 simplex, by hand, on the front of the radio, and then have another radio receiving that frequency, and I feel pretty confident that he'll hear himself.
Well, if I understand correctly, he's not having problems with simplex. That's the weirdness. He seems to be indicating that when he operates simplex, he's able to use the handy talkie. When he's trying to ka-chunk repeaters is when it fails.
Okay, stop transmitting for just a moment. Still nothing.
VHD.
Yes, Jim. Yeah, Jim?
So I'll give an analogy what's going on, I believe. We're talking mostly about the data. We're moving back and forth from radio to radio. But different Baofengs don't just have different data. They have a different clipboard that the data is on. So if you download the clipboard from radio B into radio A, you fouled it up in a way that's difficult to undo. Factory reset may or may not do it, but you have to go at least that deep to try to do it. The clipboard that the data is on is different on a different firmwares. You follow that? This is Jim, KD2VHD in Bayport.
Yeah, I understand what you're getting at, Jim. I mean, that's part of programming. It's basically data arrays. And if you're a really bad programmer, you modify the arrays for every slightly different model so that when it gets read into the data, it turns it into gibberish.
Agreed.
I mean, unfortunately, the problem is these Balfungs are kind of designed to be very inexpensive. They use a very sophisticated radio on a chip that's produced in millions and millions, so they drive the price down that way. But the ability to kind of save them is not really engineered into these units, because that would cost add to the cost of the radio, and they were trying to basically give them away free with every box of Cracker Jack. So it's unfortunately a very a problematic device. It's cheap, it's readily available, but it's got very few safeguards in it. There are an infinite number of ways for it to go wrong, unfortunately.
It was a double, but it was a beautiful double. I could hear both of you at the same time. Enter ACN.
KGS, K2OGD.
Yes, Greg.
I heard you and one other person talk at the same time, one person at a time.
Well, this is an interesting way of demonstrating that you can get more with sugar than you can with vinegar.
Pretty much. So does somebody else want to make a comment?
N2MJS, that's why I never will buy a Balfung. They have a reputation of poor quality. Manuel from New York, N2MJS.
It was somebody else that looked to come in, but you can see why they're so inexpensive on Amazon. You get what you pay for.
Well, I mean, that's the point of the exercise. China is a very interesting country, and there's a Chinese word that I've seen people actually put on T-shirts called chabado, which means to kind of do things with the least effort possible. So there's a lot of quality issues, unless you're doing it for a third party like Apple checks their quality assurance, so you don't get messes like this. But when you spend $30, I've spent more than $30 for a case for one of my other handy talkies. So if you're buying it that cheap, there's got to be a little gotcha. And the gentleman out there that made a comment that he doesn't buy Balfungs because they have low quality, I understand that. By the way, your amplitude was very, very low. Anyway, I understand that, but to me, kind of that's part of the Balfung. It only costs you $30 or $35. It's sometimes you're gonna get one that's designed for a much narrower bandwidth, and the audio will sound terrible. But it's only $30. So a lot of times it's a roulette toss, and for $30, how can you go wrong is the attitude. You know, I have a Balfung. A lot of people have a Balfung. I don't really consider it one of my prized possessions. I basically look upon it as a little bit better than my doorstop. But, you know, for $30, it's a decent deal.
BHD.
Yeah. I don't really want to inconvenience N2RQ, but I'll maybe see if I can replace it with something identical. I don't really want to give up my VTech, though. I kind of like it, considering it's a tri-bander, but I'll still bring it in anyway, and maybe see if anybody else can try to work the problem. Otherwise, if not, I'll just sell what I currently have. So, either way, thanks for all the help. I'm going to go to bed, because I'm going to go to New Heights Park in the morning. AC2GS, net control, KD2OGB.
Okay, Craig. I wish you good luck with all that. Jim, you wanted to make a comment.
I think that my closing comment on this topic is that if the education system could give the amount of education you can get out of a $30 Bofang, we'd be a different country. There's a lot to be learned from those machines, and there's a lot of things you can do with them, and with little at risk to goofing around with them like this. If that radio goes in the garbage, you got way more than $30 worth of knowledge out of it. I'll leave it at that. KD2VHT.
Okay, Jim. Like I said, as long as you understand what it is, I'm not disappointed at my Baofeng. I didn't expect a great deal from it. It's a sort of a fascinating example of amateur radio engineering and economics that they could produce a $30 handy talkie. Before the Baofeng, if you ever suggested that such a thing would exist, they would question your sanity. And it's probably subsidized to some degree by the Chinese Communist Party. The shipping certainly probably is, but, whatever. But, yeah, you got to understand what these things are. If you kind of assume that this is as good as, say, a Japanese handy-talkie, you're going to be solely disappointed. But as long as you understand what it is, it's a fascinating piece of equipment.
Yeah, K2IF. They're really not bad. I had heard when I first got mine, my son had passed his tech license, so I wound up buying him one. I went to BTEC and I got a BF F8HP. Everything, it looks just like a UV5, but this one had slightly different firmware. It had registered American seller, and it was tri-power. It had three power levels. I think it was 2.5, 5, and 8 watts. Not that I would run it at 8 watts, but I was able to get the radio, which came with, because of the 8 watts, came with a higher capacity battery, all the accessories, the chirp cable, a copy of Chirp. I went and bought all, I got a big battery, the long one, the short battery, the long and short AA and AAA battery cases for it, a case. I got all of these accessories with it and spent like $60, so it's great. If the thing ever dies, you give it a fond farewell and get another one, and all the accessories for the UV5R fit, But I have not had a problem with anything to do with that BFF8, I can't even remember what it is, F8HP, and I've had not a lick of trouble with it, and I'm hoping that's because of the better firmware. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a crapshoot. A lot of people win. Some people lose. I tend to kind of collect the losing stories. Like every so often in the old days, I heard guys buying from AliExpress and such. They would buy PL-259 connectors. And the thread sizes would be just slightly out of kilter. So no matter how hard they tried to screw the connectors in, they wouldn't quite fit. Remember stories of coaxial cables that were supposed to be very much like LMR 400 that were decidedly not. They've gotten a lot better over the years, but it's still, to a degree, it's a crapshoot. But you should by now understand that and go into it with that. And a lot of times I've gotten a lot of inexpensive stuff that worked decently. I'm a happy customer with most of these things. But, if I expect it to be something made in Germany and I get the stuff that China comes out with, and not too smart about how, well, the price is different, then woe is me. So you got to know where you're dealing with, what your expectations are, if they're legitimate or not. And as long as they're legitimate, then I think, you know, there are other questions about buying anything Chinese. It's somewhat political and economic and such. But just on the case of you know, stuff that sort of works, you know, as long as you understand that you're taking a chance, the benefit is that you're paying a lot less for it. If you want it built in Germany, it'll certainly work. It will work beautifully. You can blow it up, and it'll still work, but you're going to pay about 10 times the price.
Yeah, you know, you go to a ham fest, and I don't even know what year they came out, but, you know, you buy them, you know, a Johnson Viking or... So you buy one of those things, and it's heavy metal. It's going to work. Might take a little bit of coaxing to bring it back to life, but you're not going to do that with a Baofeng 50 years down the road, you know? No way in hell.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, if you're buying Baofengs or things that like Baofengs because... I think the same manufacturer used a bunch of different brands at one point before he settled on Baofeng, because there are a lot of suspiciously equivalent models with different manufacturers' names on it. Yeah, they're disposable radios, which is fine. Unfortunately, I get this kind of terrible feeling that the new equipment that we're buying, it's beautiful. The specs are great. The costs are reasonable, but they're not going to be as durable as those old anchors that the old timers depended upon. You pop a cover off of a modern day radio, and you're blinded by the surface mount devices that are not that easy to replace and fix. You know, if you're able to just remove a module and replace it, great. Otherwise, you know, the golden old days of just taking out electrolytic capacitors and such, or vacuum tubes and putting new ones in, is gone. Everything is really squeezed tight these days.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, I just took it out of the box. I bought it a long time ago. It's a soldering station, and, you know, nice temperature controlled digital readout soldering iron. I could set the temperature to whatever the heck I want. And in the same box is a hot air rework, you know, for SMD chips and capacitors, whatever. The real small stuff, to reflow the solder. I mean, that's a whole technique that I have to, you know, figure out and learn in order to resolder it, you know, to resolder or even solder initially some of this stuff. But it's between having the equipment and the damn vision to be able to do the stuff, some of these things are getting so ridiculously small. You know, it's you know, I got magnifying glasses. I have what do you call it? A USB microscope that you know, hooks up to the laptop. You know, in order to help me see some of the stuff. And my vision's not that bad. You know, it's like you really, really have to, you know, cross over a threshold in order to work on some of the newer stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, when I pop the top and I look inside, I do that always for MFJ equipment, because there's always something rattling inside the chassis and such. But yeah, there are technicians who have these binocular setups, so that they put it under a bit of magnification and illumination, and they have two oculars so that they could have stereoscopic vision when they're at removing one of these surface mounts. You know, it you know, sometimes you could finesse one or two chips, but if you do any sizable amount, you need to invest in new equipment and new technology. It's, you know, it's fine and dandy. Most of us know how to solder stuff, but how you remove these surface mounts without frying the circuits themselves.